Blessed are you, Yehovah Elohim, King of the universe, who has given us the Torah of truth and planted everlasting life in our midst. Blessed are you, Yehovah, giver of the Torah, in the name of Yeshua, the light of the world. Amen. They did some awful things, didn't they? You know, and yet Yah's grace is still there. So today I'm going to speak on the kingdom is serious business. And it is serious business. They took Yah's, being in Yah's kingdom, for granted. And even though they would put up altars and even though they would pray, they still took it for granted. So let us pray. Abba Father, we just thank you for the word that you've given me today. I pray that you'll just open the hearts and the minds of those that are about to hear it, and that they will receive it in grace. And we just give you the glory, Abba Father, for your provision of this word and how it comes in line with the parasha that we've read. We just thank you and praise you for that in Yeshua's precious name. Amen. So we'll start with the first slide, which is Bereshit, Genesis 33, 18 to 20. So having travelled from Padan Aram, Yaakov arrived safely at the city of Shechem in Canaan, and he set up camp near the city. From there the sons of Hamor, Shechem's father, he brought 100 pieces of silver, the parcel of land where he had pitched his tent. There he put up an altar which he called El Elohe Yisrael, Yah, the Yah of Israel. This event occurred when Yaakov returned to meet his bitter brother Esav, from whom he stole the birthright. And if you can recall the story, which was read a couple of weeks back, but Yaakov pretending to be like Esav to his blind father when he put goats, his mother organized for the goat skin to go on his hands and his hairy arms, and to copy the hairy arms of Esav, and on his neck, and of course wearing his brother's clothing to make him smell like Esav. And he did this so that Yitzhak would lay his hands on his head and give him the blessings of the firstborn birthright. Yaakov had set his house in order as he was coming through for fear of the worst. So he knew that he'd done the wrong thing by his brother, and he was still in fear of seeing him for the first time. As we know, Yaakov's name means supplanter or deceiver. And he had deceived his brother of his birthright, even though his brother said he didn't want it when he was wanted the lentil soup. But then he goes off to Laban, and Laban deceives him for 20 years. So, you know, he deserved it, didn't he? You know, you only get what you put into life. If you want to deceive, if Yah's going to allow someone to deceive you down the track some way or other. So this was a good call, a wake-up call for Yaakov. But he was in fear of meeting up with Esav again. Now I know Yaakov and Rachel were in the wrong in duping Yitzhak, but it was part of Yah's plan, as he had already told Rachel when she was carrying her twins in the womb that the older would serve the younger. And of course, it doesn't matter whether it's born 2 minutes before or 15 minutes before, he's still the older. So Esav was the older. In chapter 32, Yaakov wrestled with an angel all night, which we read today, until he was blessed because he feared meeting Esav so much. He crossed into Yisrael at that point of his life, as his name was changed from Yaakov to Israel. Then later, when he saw Esav had met him kindly, and Yaakov went to Shechem to erect an altar, calling it Yah, the Yah of Israel, he was no longer just the Yah of Avraham, but he was no longer just the Yah of Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, but now he was the Yah of Israel, knowing full well that Yaakov is now Israel. And we read these instructions for this in Devarim or Deuteronomy 27:11-13. Can we go there, please? The same day Moshe commissioned the people as follows. These are the ones you are to stand on Mount Gerizim and bless the people after you have crossed the Yarden: Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Issachar, Yosef, and Binyamin. While these are to stand on Mount Avel for the curse. So some of them were blessed, some of them were to be cursed. And those to receive the curse were Reuven, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. And the next slide, please. In Yehoshua chapter 8 and verse 33, it says, "Then all Israel, including the leaders, officials and judges, stood on either side of the ark in front of the Kohanim, who were Leviim and who carried the ark for the covenant of Yehovah. The foreigners were there along with the citizens. Half of the people were in front of Mount Gerizim, the same mountain, and half of them were on Mount Aval, the same mountain, as Moshe the servant of Yehovah had ordered them earlier in connection with the blessings of the people of Israel." So at the start of their time in the Promised Land, after the two battles at Jericho and Ai, a blessed battle and then a cursed battle where Achan traded places with Rahab, Yehoshua explained the blessings and the cursings that would occur to Israel depending upon how they would live in obedience to the Torah. And it was always about obedience to the Torah. Both Mount Gerizim and Eval were located at Shechem. We go to the next slide, please. In Yehoshua 24 and verse 1. Yehoshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem. He summoned the leaders, the heads, judges, and officials of Israel, and they presented themselves to Yehovah. So Yehoshua rehearsed all the great events that took place from Avraham to that day by that one thing that he did. Yehoshua had them make their choice to serve Yehovah or to serve idols. They had to make the decision to be the people from Avraham and put away their idols, remembering that the self can be an idol as well, and we have to make sure we have to get self out of the road too. So they had to decide to be who they were set apart to be or not. It was not until the last chapter of Yehoshua that the Exodus is officially over. In the next slide, please, in Yehoshua 24:13-15, it says, "Then I give you the land where you have not worked and cities you have not built, and you live there. You eat fruit from vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant. Therefore fear Yehovah and serve him truly and sincerely. Put away the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve Yehovah. If it seems bad to you to serve Yehovah, then choose today whom you are going to serve. Will it be the gods of your ancestors served beyond the river, or the gods of the Emori, in whose land you are living? For me and my household," this is Yehoshua speaking, "we will serve Yehovah. I have that plaque in my room, in my house. And it's something that has been very important to me since I was very, very young, that me and my household will serve Yehovah. We don't serve other gods. We only serve Yehovah and his Torah. And this is also a perfect shadow of Gan Eden, or the Garden of Eden, where humankind was meant to dwell on this earth. Now, you'll notice that most Bibles always say man or mankind. But there's no English word for the real what Yah meant, and I prefer to call it humankind. Adam, or Adam, was made after all the work was done by Yehovah's word to speak everything into being that Adam needed. Adam was made after the work was done, and he was made to enter the garden, enjoy all the work of Yah's creation. Our kingdom life is life back in the garden, but only the people who are truly serious for Yehovah and the word will enjoy it. It's not for the wishy-washy or those going through the motions just to please another person. Each person is responsible for his or her own commitment to Yah. Yitzhak told Yaakov these words in Bereshit 28 and verse 4. And may he give you the blessing which he gave Avraham, you and your descendants with you, so that you will possess the land you travel through, the land Yehovah gave to Avraham. So that was his blessing before he went away to Padan Aram to be with Laban. When we inherit the kingdom through Yeshua HaMashiach, it's not just handed to us because of our birthright as a Jew or because we've been become a true child of Israel by being obedient to Yehovah's instructions to his people and accepting Yeshua as our Mashiach. Just like Moshe, putting the ark between the blessings and the cursings, Yeshua is said to stand between the sheep and the goats, that is, the blessed and the cursed, and say these words of inheritance in Matthew 25:34. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you whom my father has blessed, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you from the founding of the world. The garden, or the Garden of Eden, was prepared from the beginning. It was prepared on earth, not in heaven. Michael Smith is a minister, and I read a lot of his work. And a minister, he preached of the church or the messianic community and the kingdom that it is a progressive journey. Everyone in the kingdom is in the messianic community or the church, but not everyone in the messianic community or the church is in the kingdom. Not everyone sitting here is in the kingdom. You might be in the church, or you might be in the congregation, but that doesn't make sure that you are in the kingdom. We have to grow and reach the level that we need to get in the kingdom. It is so significant that Yaakov's name was changed to Israel at Shechem. It was at this place where Yehoshua read the blessings and the cursings after the first two battles on their way into Canaan. It was the place where the last chapter in Yehoshua has him challenge all the people to live for Yehovah or idols and choose that day which way they were going to go. It was the same place where Yaakov was changed to Israel. You enter the kingdom land, so to speak, just as Yaakov entered the phase in his life when he became Israel. And Israel left the wilderness, conquered two cities, and experienced the land and experienced the land that became Israel's land. Israel actually became the people of Yehovah when they entered Canaan. Can we go to the next slide, please? In Deuteronomy 27:2, it says, "When you cross the Yarden to the land Yehovah your Elohim is giving you, you are to set up large stones, put plaster on them." And in verse 9 it says, "Next, Moshe and the Kohanim, who are Levi'im, spoke to all Israel. They said, 'Be quiet and listen, Israel. Today you have become the people of Yehovah your Elohim.'" This was a solemn declaration, just like Yehoshua demanded a declaration at Shechem, that they were now the people of Yehovah. Just like Yaakov set up the altar there and said that Yehovah is the Elohim of Israel. In the next slide, in Yochanan 4, verse 5. "He," Yeshua, "came to the town in Shomron called Shechem, near the field Yaakov had given his son Yosef." Now, you'll find that most Bibles use the name of the city as Sychar, as a new name for Shechem. But that's obviously what the Samaritans were calling it. And the woman at the well was here and mentioned Mount Gerizim as a place of blessings, where blessings were pronounced. So even in Yeshua's day, Mount Gerizim was used as a place of blessing. In Yochanan chapter 4 and verse 20, the woman says, "Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you people say the place where one has to worship is in Jerusalem. This is the place where Joseph's bones were buried and the land given to Joseph." In the next slide, in Yehoshua 24:32, it says, "The bones of Joseph, which the people of Israel had brought up from Egypt, were buried in Shechem, in the parcel of ground which Yaakov had bought from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver. And they became a possession of the descendants of Joseph." So Joseph wanted to be in the land. He was in the land at Shechem. In Bereshit, Genesis 50 and verse 25, on the next slide. Or is it the same one? Same one. "Then Joseph took an oath from the sons of Israel, 'Yehovah will surely remember you, and you are to carry my bones up from here.'" That was up from Egypt. So they felt Shechem was the best place to signify that they were now there. They were now in the land. Yeshua speaks to the woman at the well and tells her kingdom truths. True water is through the Ruach HaKodesh, because she was at the well. Now, this woman was at the well in the middle of the day by herself. I wonder why. Was she ostracized by the other women and couldn't go when all the other women went at sundown or just before sundown in the cooler part of the day? Only Yah knows. So, in slide 12, we said that, Yochanan 14 and verse 4. It says, Yeshua says, whoever drinks the water I will give him will never be thirsty again. On the contrary, the water I give him will become a spring of water inside of him, welling up into eternal life. Yeshua also told his Talmudim, true meat is doing Yah's will. That's when you're getting into the meat of the word, when you are obeying his will. Yochanan 4, verses 32 to 34 said, but he answered, that's Yeshua, I have food to eat that you don't know about. At this the Talmudim asked one another, could someone have brought him food? Yeshua said to them, my food is to do what the one who sent me wants and to bring his work to completion. And the next slide, please. In Yochanan 4:36, the one who receives his wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, so that the reaper and the sower may be glad together. The true temple is spirit and truth. It's not a building made by hands. In Yochanan 4:23, but the time is coming, once again Yeshua speaking, indeed it's here now, when true worshippers will worship the Father spiritually and truly. For these are the kind of people the Father wants worshipping him. The first river of life was in the garden. The first food of life was the fruit of life in the garden. The first temple was the garden sanctuary, where the cherubim blocked the entrance like cherubim on the veil of the holiest of holies after man sinned. Our aim should always be to get back to the garden. Yeshua said something else to the Talmudim that sounds just like the words of Yehoshua in the same city of Shechem. In the next slide, in Yochanan 4:35-38. Don't you have a saying, 4 or more months and then the harvest? Well, what I say to you is, open your eyes, look at the fields. They are already ripe for harvest. The one who reaps receives his wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, so that the reaper and the sower may be glad together. For in this matter the proverb, one sows and another reaps, holds true. I sent you to reap what you haven't worked for. Others have done the hard labour, and you have benefited from their works. And in the next slide, in Yehoshua 24:12-13, I sent the hornet ahead of you, driving them out from ahead of you, the two kings of the Emori. It was by your word, or it wasn't by your sword or by your bow. Then I gave you a land where you had not worked, and cities you had not built, and you lived there. You eat fruit from vineyards and olive groves, which you did not plant. This was like the garden where Yehovah planted and man never worked until after he sinned and had to eat bread by the sweat of his brow. In Bereshit 3:19 it says, you will eat bread by the sweat of your forehead till you return to the ground, for you were taken out, you are dust, and you will return to dust. And when Moshe read the blessings and the cursing were to be declared at Shechem on the two mountains, he said in the next slide, Deuteronomy 30:15, look, I'm presenting to you today with on one hand life and on the other hand death and evil. And in 19-20, I call on heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have presented you with life and death, the blessing and the curse. Therefore choose life, so that you will live, you and your descendants, loving Yehovah your Elohim, paying attention to what he says and clinging to him. For that is the purpose of your life. On this depends the length of time you will live in the land Yehovah swore he would give to your ancestors, Abraham, Yitzhak and Yaakov. This is what we call garden talk. It's where the cursings were first mentioned and replaced the blessings which Adam had before he sinned. Yochanan chapter 1 shows us the beginning at the same as in Bereshit chapter 1. Day after day, the same as is in Genesis. Can we go to the next slide, please? In Bereshit 1:1, it says, in the beginning, Yehovah created the heavens and the earth. In Yochanan 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with Yehovah, and the Word was Yehovah. The Ruach, the Spirit, was on the waters like Bereshit. In Bereshit 1:2, it says, the earth was unformed and void, darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of Yehovah hovered over the surface of the water. And in Yochanan 1:31-32, Yeshua says, I myself did not know who he was, but the reason I came immersing with water was so that he might be known to Israel. Then Yochanan gave this testimony, I saw the Ruach coming down from heaven like a dove and remaining on him. Then Yochanan chapter 2, there was a wedding. Straight after the immersion, we have the wedding. But what did Yehovah tell Adam to do? He told Adam, when he'd given him his wife, to multiply and replenish the earth. That required one, a woman, two, a marriage. Now marriage was different in these days than it was today because there wasn't a legal ceremony set down by the laws of the land, as there are in Australia and other countries today. All that was required was a commitment from both parties and a consummation of the union. In Yochanan chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, on the third day there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Yeshua was there. Then after the wedding, in chapter 3, Yochanan speaks of a new birth. It's amazing when you look at how scripture is actually written. In Yochanan 3:3, yes, indeed, Yeshua answered him, I tell you that unless a person is born again from above, he cannot see the kingdom of Yehovah. This is kingdom talk. Yochanan 3:5, Yeshua answered, yes, indeed, I tell you, that's 3:3, yeah, and yes, 3:5. Yes, indeed, I tell you that unless a person is born from water and the Spirit, or the Ruach, he cannot enter the kingdom of Yehovah. So we need immersion. We need the Ruach in our lives. And in the next slide, please, in Yochanan 3:29-30. The bridegroom is the one who has the bride. But the bridegroom's friend, who stands and listens to him, is overjoyed at the sound of the bridegroom's voice. So this joy of mine is now complete. He must become more important while I become less important. So we do need to increase or multiply by new birth children. Yah depends on us to increase his kingdom. And for this reason, there is no wonder we read of a woman at the well. In Yochanan 4:7, a woman from Shomron came to draw water, and Yeshua said to her, give me a drink of water. This, of course, started the conversation of living water and calling the woman's husband. In Yochanan, I love this bit, sorry. In Yochanan 4:16-18, Yeshua said to her, call your husband and come back. She answered, I don't have a husband. Yeshua said to her, you're right, you don't have a husband. You've had five husbands in the past, and you're not married to the man you're living with now. You've spoken the truth. So when I read this, Yeshua tells the woman, she's had five husbands. The one she's living with as a husband at the moment, husband number six, she's not really married to, but is obviously someone else's husband, because she can't marry him because he belongs to somebody else. So there were six different men in her life. And then who comes in? The seventh man, Yeshua. The number of perfection. It's really amazing how when we look into scripture and see the gems that Yehovah provides. Number seven, the number of perfection. This woman was obviously not perfect, but Yeshua was about to change that for her. None of us are perfect, but Yeshua changes us into his image. Now, there Yeshua spoke to this serious business of kingdom in Shechem. His wife did not need to have any fancy background, but she must be serious enough to be his queen in his kingdom. The kingdom means that he, Yeshua, is the king. And if that is the case, we have to live like it. Excuse me. So much by accepting Yeshua into our lives. Therefore, we must honour him as king in our kingdom, or in his kingdom. Israel was removed into Babylon when they forsook Yehovah. They had lost their level of kingdom. This is serious business. We can lose it. But if you have made your commitment to walk in the kingdom, then you have to act like it now or walk away. Commitment is not a one-time experience to continue to live as before the commitment. To enter into a world of blessing, we need to walk out that commitment daily. But it will cost you something to do your own thing. It will cost you your will for Yeshua's, and he will not bless you if you choose to walk in your own way. We are still at Mount Gerizim and Mount Evel. We choose. Do we want blessings? Do we want a curse? Do we want to follow in Yeshua and live according to his kingdom purpose? Or do we want to live according to our own purpose? Living according to his kingdom purpose in our lives will bring us the blessing. Living according to our own purpose will bring us the curse. So let's now go to Yeshua Remembrance Service.